Good morning, everyone, and welcome to part three of our walk together through the letters of John, which we're calling Good News, Everyone. And today's message, which is part three, is called Walking the Walk. Okay, you may have come across this saying that you will have heard at church. You may have even heard it in wider society. And it's an expression we call the Ten Commandments. Now, Ten Commandments. What's a commandment? Well, I'll tell you what it isn't. It isn't a suggestion. Nowhere in the Bible are there ten suggestions. There are, however, ten commandments. And what God wants us to understand today is that a commandment isn't a vague, woolly suggestion. It's not a, well, come on, guys, you know, maybe we ought to think about this. But it's a matter of stop it. It's a matter of don't do it. It's a matter of warning to help us avoid falling into a great chasm caused by our own behaviour. So, John uses the word commandment in the passage that we had read to us today. And we need to understand that a commandment is a commandment is a commandment, is not a suggestion. So when he says to us, I'm giving you a new commandment now, or I'm not referring to the older commandment, he is talking about that which we are expected to conform to. And you know, when John talks about commandments, he isn't talking about us meeting certain standards before we are allowed to be part of the community that is known as church. In fact, I always say to you, don't I, that we are invited in to belong before we necessarily understand how to or what to conform to. Because there is an open arms around the church. The church is all about embracing. It's all about welcoming. But when you're welcomed in, there are some commandments to learn. And we should realise that this is a necessity of the Christian life. And it's so much a necessity that John says to us, the one who says, I have come to know him without keeping his commands is a liar and the truth is not in him. Yes, people, a liar. John is being very clear about this. He is saying when we don't keep his commands, but say we're Christians, we are liars and the truth is not in us. So let me make this even more clear. What John is saying is there is a huge difference between someone who calls themselves a Christian and doesn't keep his commands, and one who calls themselves a Christian and does keep his commands. It's not that keeping his commands makes us a Christian. It's that when we don't keep his commands, it's more likely that we're lying about knowing him. And this is the key point for today. Relationship with Christ wants to please him. If you truly have a relationship with Jesus, you will want to please him. Now, today, I have been married for 40 years. 40 years ago, Pauline walked down the aisle, met me at the top, and it's been joy all the way since. Seriously, I thank God for my wife. But my relationship with my wife has to be based on an understanding of each other. And the longer I am with my wife, the more I want to please her. And that's why, in fact, a relationship before marriage, in terms of getting to know each other, is quite important. I've never been a fan of encouraging people to meet 1 week, get engaged the week after, and get married the month after that, because there has to be a matter of learning about each other, which is another reason why God wants us to understand that sex is for married people. Because if we engage in commitment physically before we learn to understand each other as to whether or not this is a person that I want to spend my life with, then we are building connections which may be very difficult to break later and may not be helpful to us in the long term. Relationship with Christ wants to please him. As we walk with Jesus, and believe me, that is what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to walk with him. He wants to walk with us. He wants to know us in our experience of life. He wants us to share the day with him. He wants us to explain day after day what's bugging us, what's hurting us. He wants to know about it. He wants to share in it. And he wants to encourage us and comfort us along the way. But as our relationship with Christ increases, we should want to please him. And if we want to please him, we please him by keeping his commands. It's actually fairly straightforward. A life that is unchanged by the gospel is a life that has not been unchained by the gospel. Now, this is supposed to be a phrase that will be catchy, that you might remember. But the message of it is very simple. Unless our lives have been changed by the gospel so that we are no longer chained to sin, chained to the devil, chained to the thought processes of this world, then unless we have had that unchaining take place, then there will be no change in our lives. A life that is changed by the gospel is a one that has been unchained by the gospel. And so we need to understand that the change in our lives comes about by Christ breaking the chains of our walk with sin and with the devil. A steady improvement in our closeness is a result of a steady overcoming of sin. As we get closer to Jesus, we should steadily overcome sin in our lives. Now look, I am not saying to you for 1 minute that you become a Christian and you stop sinning. Good grief, what do you think I am? You know, I understand what life is like. I have been following Jesus. Well, next week I've been following Jesus for 55 years. And I know that as I walk closer with him and longer with him, lots of sins have less opportunity in my life and I need to overcome them. And when I do overcome them, it's a great joy to him. But sometimes I fail and Christ comforts me and forgives me. But my continuing walk with Jesus helps me overcome sin. Because if he is stood by my side and I know that and I am talking to him, how can I engage in voluntary sin? It simply doesn't work, people. There should be a steady improvement in our closeness and as a result, a steady overcoming of sin. And so I want to suggest today that we should walk as he walked, which is what John encourages us to do. And walking as he walked is a walk of agape. Now, agape is a Greek word which is primarily in our Greek New Testaments. It's the original word for love in our Bibles. It's a word which wasn't widely used in the Greek world for love, but it's widely used in the Christian world for love. And that's because agape is a very particular type of love. And we are taught to agape our brother and sister. Now, John is saying this particular message to us, so I want to focus on this. Jesus says to us we should even agape our enemies. You know, we should agape the world that's out there. We should agape our neighbour. But John particularly wants us to learn to agape our brother and sister. And what agape is a selfless love, a sacrificial love, a committed love, a faithful love, a devoted love. What it isn't a romantic love, and it isn't a sexual love. It's a love about laying yourself down for your brother and your sister. So these are people that are in the church with us. These are people who are in the community of the wider body of Christ. And John is telling us to agape them. He's saying that this is his commandment to us. We should agape one another. We should agape our brother and sister. We should have a selfless, sacrificial love, a committed and faithful love, a devoted love for each other. This is the calling of the Christian by Jesus himself. It's the calling on us to change and be engaged with our Lord. And agape requires a change. You see, when we become a Christian, we make that choice, you come to church, you hear the gospel preached, you respond to the gospel, you say, I think this is for me, I want to walk with Jesus. And as you begin to walk with Jesus, a change takes place within us. And that change is a powerful change. And it isn't just in our spirit, although there's a change in our spirit. And it isn't necessarily in our body, although there may be changes in our body. We may get healing, we may get deliverance even from other things. But what's really powerful is that Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so we are called to have a change of mind, a change of mind. The world that we live in, the culture, the society that we live in, has some very unusual values, very fluid values. We have a value and 20 years later we have the opposite value. There are all types of things that our world engages in. But the Bible, through Jesus, tells us to be changed by the renewing of our mind, that we should have a dramatic difference in our thinking, a change in our, as one preacher once said many years ago, a change in our stinking thinking. So this life is not about what you don't do. You know, when I was growing up, I really thought that Christians were people who didn't do certain things. On the screen you'll see a multiplex cinema. And cinema is spelt C-I-N-E-M-A. But when I was growing up, it was spelt S-I-N-E-M-A. Cinema, because it was a sin to go to the cinema. And you may laugh at that, say, why was it a sin to go to the cinema? Well, in the generation before me, when the church was doing something every night of a week, the opening of cinemas was drawing people away from engaging with the church. And all of a sudden, people were following their film star favourites and not spending time with the body of Christ or with Christ himself. And cinemas, you know, it's a corny phrase. And I wouldn't dream of saying to you it was a sin to go to the cinema. Although I can remember committing a sin when I was about, I don't know, maybe 15 or 16, when Jaws came out. And I was stood in the queue to get into the Cozy Carlton, which was the cinema in the town in which I grew up. And you had to queue outside. and I put my gabardine raincoat on and I pulled up the collar and I stood with my face to the wall in the hope that people going to the Bible study wouldn't see me. And that's because I felt that I was doing something wrong by going. Now, I remember that I enjoyed that movie, and I also remember that the phrase, "I think you're going to need a bigger boat," when the guy first saw the huge shark. But you know, cinema is not something that's talked about in the Bible. Do not do it. It's not in the Ten Commandments, because it didn't even exist then. And you know, these days we don't need a cinema. We've got a television with hundreds of channels. We've got all types of live streaming. We've got incredible connections with the internet, which will deliver what we want to see. Some of these things we shouldn't see. Some of these things for which there is a great feature on the latest televisions, which you may not have noticed. It's on the remote control and it's normally marked with a red circular button. And that button, if you press it, it totally alters the performance of the TV. It turns it off. Yes, it is possible to turn your TV off. It is possible to stop watching it when something comes on the screen that doesn't do you any good, that you shouldn't really be watching at all, and you know that. Well, use the power of the button. Close it down. Shut it down. But our life as Christians is not about what we don't watch. It's not about where we don't go. Like pubs. When I was growing up, pubs were smelly places full of cigarette smoke. Sometimes you couldn't see across the room for cigarette smoke. There were places where there was beer in the carpets, but it might have possibly been through somebody's stomach first. The carpets were sticky. There were awful places. I remember my first ventures into a pub for business, thinking this is a terrible place. But these days, there are places where you can go and have a nice meal and have a good cup of coffee with your meal. You know, there's a lot of changes. A pub is not what it used to be. And so if we judge people by where they go, we are missing the point. The point is not about what you do. God forbid that we should measure ourselves by these factors, because not only has sin changed in our lifetimes in its level of acceptance, but the pubs and the cinemas have changed in our lifetimes. You know, they're not the same as they used to be. The Christian life is not about what you don't do, it's about who you walk with. And the sooner we understand that, the better it is. It's about relationship. It's all about relationship. You know, if you can't watch what you're watching in the cinema without Jesus sat by your side in the cinema, you ought to get up and go out. You really should. But like I say, it's not about going to the cinema. It's about being at home. You shouldn't be watching at home some of these things. And I'm not trying to get on anybody's case about what you're watching. What I am saying is that it is a typical thing that we should understand. It's not about what we're doing, but who is in our lives and whether our relationship with him is solid and alive. So the issue is that it's about all about relationship and that we should spend time with Christ. But when you walk with him, you should walk like him. Now then, were the places that you and I wouldn't go that Jesus went? Well, I would suggest there were. There were places that Jesus went that the Pharisees didn't approve of. There were places that Jesus went that people maybe raised their eyebrows at. But Jesus went where there were people who needed him. And he reached out to them and he went where they were to talk about him. His gospel. You know, really, we can go anywhere if we are taking Jesus with us, but don't use that as an excuse to go anywhere, Because if you're going anywhere, it should be to carry the gospel, to carry the good news. And if you can't do that when you're going to these places, then maybe you still shouldn't go there. Remember, you should walk with him, you should walk like him. And John's overarching message in this section of 1 John is that walking like him entails loving your brother and sister. And again, this is not just a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling. This is sacrificially, selflessly, dedicatedly. This is a commitment. This is faithfulness. These are the ways in which we should love one another. So the one who says he remains in Jesus should walk just as Jesus walked. And we can't really separate these things. You can't tell me that you're having a wonderful relationship with Jesus, but you don't do as he did. We should always remember that fellowship with one another, connections with the local church, are vital if we're going to walk with Jesus, because that's where Jesus goes. You see, I want to know where Jesus is on a Sunday morning when he's with me in church. Where is he with you if you're not in church? You know, we should be, wherever possible, meeting with believers. And the Bible says we should do that all the more so as the day of his appearing approaches, as the day of his returning. As sin gets worse in the world, as the world gets darker, we should be meeting with one another as many times as we possibly can. You see, there is no garden for God to walk with us in. Eden isn't there anymore. We can't just go for a walk in the garden with Jesus and talk about the name of hippopotami and the beauty of some of his plants and trees. It's not about that. But there is still an incarnate presence of the living God in this world who walks the earth through us, with us. And we need to realise that God's presence is with us in this world, and we need to ensure that he is manifest where we're walking, so that people can have an opportunity of meeting God as they walk too. For this to happen, people, there must be a change within us. We have to change. We have to be different. We have to be Romans 12 verse 2 Christians. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What a wonderful opportunity we have to learn to walk closely with Jesus, and as we walk with him, walk like him, and as we walk like him, love one another. My last real point of the day is from 1 John 2 verses 13 and 14, where we had this read to us earlier. I am writing to you, young men, because you have had victory over the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you have come to know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have come to know the one who is from the beginning. Who is the one who is from the beginning? Yes, that's right, it's Jesus. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. God's word remains in you, and you have had victory over the evil one. Having victory over the evil one is the breakthrough that Jesus came to deliver. The Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. And when Jesus is made real in your life, then it will become natural for you to have victory over the evil one. And in this passage, John says twice, you have had victory over the evil one. And you've come to know the Father. You've come to know Jesus. And you've had victory over the evil one. You are strong. God's word remains in you. You see, these victories are relational. They are impacted by agape working out in our lives and by us keeping God's commands and by embracing transformation. These are powerful breakthroughs in our lives that come about us relationally walking with Christ in our lives and by us allowing Him to express His love through us to those who are around us, particularly to our brothers and sisters in the church. By keeping God's commands and embracing transformation, we bring about a massive change in our lives and we bring about the opportunity for Christ to impact our world. And I don't know about you, that's in my prayer all the time. Okay, so in summary, what have we learnt today? Well, we've been reminded that commandments are not mere suggestions. We've been reminded about walking with Jesus, about our life as a Christian being all about our relationship with Him, and about it also offering the world an opportunity to get to know Him too. We have been reminded about the importance of selfless, sacrificial love. We've been reminded that we've had and will have more victories, and as a result, His strength and word remain in us. You happy with that? Good. Well, let's pray then. Father God, we come to you today in the overarching name of Jesus. Jesus, who you have given us to walk with. Jesus, who has won victory over sin, death and hell by his death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. And Lord Jesus, we ask you today that not only may our lives be given over to relationship with you, not only may our lives be a walk with you day after day after day, but may our lives demonstrate that we follow your commandments and that we demonstrate your love to our brothers and sisters. Help us today, Lord, to love one another. Help us to express the love of Christ in everything we do. And may this week there be a change in us that people can see that we love our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for listening, everyone.